Now, on the weekend, you may have seen in Sydney that the vandalising of a statue of Captain James Cook. This follows events that took place in the United States concerning Confederate statues as well, where we saw statues defaced or even taken down. Now, as the debate around colonial-era statues grows, many questions are raised asking how we can look at our colonial history while addressing the racism that is deeply embedded within the statues that seem to praise the people associated with our past. Well, joining me now on the phone to discuss this rather complex issue further is Professor Bruce Skates, a Professor of History with the School of History from the Australian National University. Thank you for joining The Daily.
Great to be with you, Miles.
Now, what do these statues mean to people on both sides of the debate, in your opinion? Can we just start really broadly there?
Well, I guess they're contested spaces, as monuments always will be. There's never one reading of the past. There's always multiple views on the past, just as there are on the present. I guess the critical point is that by having these colonial monuments in the centre of civic spaces, what we are actually doing, whether we intend to do it or not, is kind of condoning the message that they're giving out there. So I think that what we truly need to do, and can I hasten to add that, you know, I'm a historian, so of course I'm appalled at the destruction of memorials. We don't destroy archives, we need to keep those records of the past, but we need to engage with them. That's the whole point. I think that vandalism would have been avoided perhaps if we had a really strong statement from the outset from our political leaders that we will address these problems rather than simply denying them. So I think there is a real need to engage with this dialogue at the moment.
It's interesting, and we'll get to the complexity of it in a moment. I just want to ask what you thought of Prime Minister Malcolm Turnbull's response to the vandalism of the James Cook statue, calling it cowardly. Did you think that was heavy-handed enough?
I think that I understand, though, the anger that Aboriginal people, and indeed many members of the community, must feel. I mean, the claim that's made by that statue is simply untenable. Cook did not discover Australia. Australia was discovered, mapped, explored, named by a great mosaic of Indigenous discovery millennia before Cook. And I think we're mature enough as a nation now to say that we need to acknowledge this publicly in public spaces and to actually contest these false claims. So perhaps is cowardly the right word? Perhaps these people feel an immense sense of frustration, a sense of powerlessness, a sense of being disenfranchised from a public conversation. So I'm not condoning an act of vandalism. I'm simply saying I understand where this frustration comes from.
Of course. And I just touch on that by saying, I mean, these colonial statues, and I think the issue that some people take with them in particular, the vandals perhaps, is that they allude to the discovery of Australia. Why do you think that causes so much confrontation?
Well, as an Aboriginal friend said to me, whenever you say that Cook found Australia, you're suggesting that Aboriginal people had somehow lost it, and I think that sums it up perfectly. When you make a statement like that, you deny the richness of our Indigenous history, and I think that's something that we should always be mindful of. I think that we're obviously living in a country which is host to the oldest continuous civilization in the world, and that's something I think that we should all celebrate and affirm. Whatever you might think of Cook's brilliance as a navigator, his great achievement in charting the eastern coastline, that does not, to my mind, serve as an act of discovery. As I said before, you know, this place had been discovered long before. But can I take you to another level here? In that,
of course,
it's not just the claim. It's not just a claim about discovery. Some of these memorials, these colonial memorials, are stridently racist. They're relics of our colonial past, and if I can give you an instance of that, we have statues in public spaces which condone punitive expeditions that were sent out and massacred Aboriginal people, sometimes with quasi-legal consent. And honestly, we need to disavow those actions. We need to say why there was violence on the frontier. We need to be mindful of the other side of the story in this. Otherwise, we do everyone a great disservice.
Indeed, and let's look at that story because it's an utterly complex one at the moment. And I, by the sounds of it, I understand that it's about trying to reconcile the mistakes of the past to build the foreground for a future that accepts, and when, indeed when the history is written of the 21st century, that it would be one that looked back on the fact that there was the ability to reconcile, you know, what you described there about punitive expeditions and the issues that those, which are incredibly harmful, you'd have to acknowledge at the very least. How do you think we can go about a process of reconciliation?
Well, I think first of all, we should, first and foremost, and always, we have to tell the truth about this. You know, the simple denial, the simple, you know, the comments that have been made about attempts to erase our history, I don't think that serves any constructive purpose at all. What I think we should say up front is that this country was invaded, that there was a terrible war of dispossession here, that war of dispossession claimed casualties on all sides, and that now we're in a situation where we need to confront, I think, the deep wrongs of our colonial past. Now, a monument like the one in Fremantle I alluded to a moment ago, I think that's an excellent instance of how you look back into the past, you explain the history of provocation that led to the deaths of the explorers, and you also acknowledge the terrible suffering that was inflicted on Indigenous communities when the whites went in with their guns and their horses and they wreaked havoc, as they did. Now, today's Australians did not do that. Of course not. But the reality of it is that we can't have a statue like that standing in a civic space without challenging it, without questioning the whole reasoning behind it, and without putting it in a realistic political context. This was serving to justify the dispossession of Aboriginal people from their traditional lands. And that's something that we've moved beyond. You know, we're living in a post-Mabo age, and we need to have our public history reflect that.
Indeed, and I'd also just like to touch on the Yargan statue on Harrison Island over in Western Australia. Probably a statue that very few of at least Sydney listeners might know about because it's quite far away from Sydney, but also a statue of an Aboriginal warrior that has been defaced many times. There's very little discourse around that. Do you think that's a coincidence, or do you think it's that people are much quicker to get up in arms when it happens to of a colonialist rather than of an Aboriginal Australian?
Yeah, well, look, I guess the reality of it is that we're not talking about an equal conversation here, are we? It's interesting how quick the media was to respond to the vandalism of Cook's statue, but you're quite right. When Aboriginal memorials have been desecrated, there's been nowhere near the kind of airplay. I think too that things are changing, and if I can cite a great instance of that, here in Canberra, our National Museum has a plaque commemorating Pemulwuy. Pemulwuy was an Aboriginal resistance leader in the heart of Sydney, and what Pemulwuy's action does is it reminds us of a defining moment in Australian history, and it's presented like that by the museum. And what the museum does, of course, is it uses the Aboriginal resistance on the frontier to unfold a very difficult and a very problematic and a very painful story. But it's a story we all have to have the courage to confront now if we're going to move beyond the past.
And do you think councils, politicians or kind of bureaucrats should be the ones to decide what is authorised and celebrated history and what isn't? Because it seems like they're trying to, from all sides of the debate, are really trying to throw their two cents in. Do you think that it has been consultative enough to the broader community or indeed the Aboriginal community in Australia?
Yeah, well, look, first and foremost, I think we have to ask ourselves is who is injured most by these memorials? Who is maligned most by these memorials? And, of course, it's Aboriginal people. And I think the whole point about the raising of memorials in the past is that they consciously excluded Aboriginal people or presented them simply as subjects. And I think now it should be Aboriginal people that lead this process of revisiting these memorials, reinterpreting these memorials. And can I say that when they've done that in the past, and it was my great privilege to work with Aboriginal people in Western Australia on the Maitland Brown case, what they do is they offer a new perspective on the past that's truly enlarging. It's not simply adding another plaque. It's not simply, you know, correcting a white narrative that was plainly wrong. They also approach these memorials in inventive and challenging ways. And that enlarges us all. So I think, yes, it's time for politicians, for white historians, for bureaucrats to step aside and to empower those Aboriginal voices, because we will all gain much by that.
Professor Bruce Gates, thank you very much for joining The Daily.
Pleasure to join you.